Amen.
We've got several visitors with us this morning and several that haven't been here for a while. First of all, visiting with us all the way from Bryant's Cove, Newfoundland, is George Burden. It's Donna Burden's dad. It's good to have you here with us this morning. That was one of the first words that Donna taught us, was it was Newfoundland.
Is that right? Okay. I guess we all haven't learned yet.
Yeah, he still has to have a couple more lessons. It's good to see Kemp back. Kemp has been on the missionary field out there in the Caribbean sailing his sailboat. Good to see you back, Kemp.
He did say there was a couple of times when he didn't think he was going to come back. And of course, I took that positive, not negative. That you weren't ever in any danger, right? Amen.
It's good to see the Vanders back.
Amen.
Yes. It's good to see Karen back.
Amen. The Wanderer.
She's getting close to retirement, so she thinks she can just leave.
Not so.
It's good to see Mr. and Miss Hutto back. Does that sound weird, Mr. and Miss Hutto? A little?
Well, I know it sounds weird to you. Does it sound weird to you?
You don't know? Anyway, I'm saying it's good to see everybody back. Y'all are probably wondering who was here last week. Well, we had a good crowd last week.
Yeah, we had a big crowd last week.
We had a lot of visitors last week, too. Looks like that maybe the Winter Texans brought with them a hitchhiker.
Who brought who?
I don't know. This is Stan's mom's sister from somewhere in Kansas, right? Independence, Kansas. Violetta Price. And then, of course, it's good to have Stan's mom and dad back. They've been in Texas for the winter, and now evidently the winter's over there.
Long over. Hey, I told Connie the other day, I'm ready to go back to Texas where it's cool. Man, it's been hot for a few days.
I think the heat was getting to him when he said that. This has been in the bulletin, but I just want to remind you guys that this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. here at the church, we will have a wedding. And so we're anxious to celebrate that with Patrick and Donna. And so you guys need to join us here on Wednesday night. Now, the home ministry is homeless this week. So I guess that we're going to have it here at the church at 6:30. We will still have intercessory prayer at 5:30. So it's going to be here tonight at the church. Now, make sure that you get with me and sign up, because I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of people after church anxious to get next home ministry at their house.
Next Sunday.
So you better get in line fast. Let's see. Oh, Ken and Renee, I guess most of you guys know that they're celebrating their 25th anniversary today. And
today?
Today. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're celebrating it on a cruise ship in Alaska. So keep them in your prayers, and I'm sure they're going to enjoy themselves.
We told her not to come back with any man overboard stories, though. So, although we do want God to do whatever it takes to make that marriage better. Hey, listen, I heard a preacher tell a joke this morning. Pretty cool. He said that there was this small town, and it was a dry town. It'd been dry forever, and this new bar was going to come in, and they're going to build this new bar. And they built it all up and got ready to open, so the church got together on a prayer meeting and decided they'd pray that thing closed. So they just asked God to do whatever it take to eliminate the bar. And a lightning storm came across that night, and lightning hit the building and burned it to the ground. And so the bar owner heard that the church had been praying that way, so he filed suit against the church. for burning the building down. And so they hired a lawyer to state their case that they had nothing to do with it. And so when they came before the judge and they started showing the evidence, the judge looked at it and said, well, there's one thing for sure that I can already say. The bar owner believes in prayer and the church doesn't. Makes you think, doesn't it? What are we going to take responsibility for? Are we going to deny when we pray that whatever it takes, that when it happens that way, we say, oh, I didn't have anything to do with it. God may not like that. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to get into the Word again this morning. I do appreciate everyone here coming. I am glad that my mom and dad are back. I think we're going to have to get their days and they got their days and nights mixed up. Y'all ever notice that? They wait till the middle of winter to go south and the middle of the summer to come north. Something's wrong there, isn't it? I don't think they've got their timers or their clocks or their calendars right or something. But anyway, praise the Lord, they're here. If you don't need to turn to this, I'm going to quote a couple of scriptures to you that you know. I'll tell you where they're at if you're taking notes. This morning, I want to continue on our called series. And I know you're all waiting for the punchline, and I am too. I am too. I'm waiting for God to get to that one final finale, that huge finale of the called series. But I'm beginning to think that maybe that's everything that we are and everything we ought to be preaching is our calling. What we're called to, who we're called to, why we're called, that kind of thing. I meant to bring the outline today and catch you up, but I didn't, so we'll do it next Sunday. I think next Sunday we're going to be talking about call to government, which if you've never heard me, and I know you haven't, talk about government, you might want to do that. I kind of get excited, whether you realize this or not, I get excited when we talk about government, because God gets excited when we talk about government. Everybody knows me to be an anti-government person that knows me close, and I'm really not. I'm just anti-false government. I'm 1,000% government. We'll talk about that next week. This is the preamble to that, and it's called Call to Order. I want you to listen to these couple of scriptures. In Genesis 1:1-3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Why was the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters? Because the world was out of order. Totally in chaos, totally out of order. The Holy Spirit's job to move in on those situations. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What happened as soon as light came on this earth that was out of order? It was put in order. It was put in order. I wrote down here for myself, what we see here is all of the tomorrows set in order. Do you understand that what happened when God spoke to the earth, that the earth became in order forever? The earth is not any longer of its own opinion. It does not have a choice of how it operates. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. That will not change. Life, death, as far as we know it, that will not change. There's a lot of things that won't change. One is, we covered the other day, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's already set in order. Why are you trying to change the order of tomorrow? God's already got it in order for your blessings. Did we not cover that? Good take. Good message. Then Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our likeness and image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Why would God let man have dominion over something he just created? What did he just do before he set he gave us dominion? He set the whole place in order, didn't he? So his whole goal when he gave man dominion was for them to keep order and keep in order. Right? And what's one of the first things man did? Get out of order. He literally, as the thing that God put in order, he stepped out of. Then the Holy Spirit has to come back on the scene. And what does the Holy Spirit do in your life all the time? With his little, still, small voice, the Bible says. try to get you back in order. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter, as an instructor, as a teacher. The one that says, turn to the left, turn to the right, go this way, go that way. That's pretty orderly. Anybody in here been in the military? When you're going down marching, they tell you what to do, where to go, turn to the left, turn to the right, how fast to go, and when to stop. Right? Sometimes that's not such a still, small voice. But it works. Sometimes I pray to God, God, make your voice louder. I don't want a small voice. I want a command. Yell at me if you have to. I want to hear you. He set tomorrow in order. He gave man dominion to keep it in order. This is one of the commands in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Paul said this, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I would like to ask you things, and I don't want you to answer me. I don't even want to hear your answer. Just listen to the question, and you take it home with you. Have you ever been in a church that seemed out of order, seemed chaotic, other than ours this morning? Nah, everything's fine. I'm talking about when you get into a praise and worship service where people absolutely lose control. What scripture do you back up in that? What scripture do you use to get into that situation? I've heard of praise and worship services where they howl like dogs and bark to the air and they, you know, I mean, all kind of, where in the scripture do you find that? When it says, let everything be done decently and in order. Can it happen temporarily? Oh, yeah. Don't hear me say that God can't do to you anything He wants to do. That's fine. Did you ever have God, Did you ever have God do something to you to break you? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you the first thing. The very first thing is you had to admit you were a sinner. The very first thing God did to break you was to get you to admit that you were a sinner and that He was your only hope. But I've had Him do other things. I've had Him cause me to cry when I should have been laughing and laughing when I should have been crying. Kneeling when I should have been standing, standing when I should have been kneeling. I'm talking about according to the order of the service. I don't want things so structured that you can't even say hoopy if you want to. I'm talking about things that don't make any orderly sense at all. I remember one time in a church service way out in the boonies somewhere. I don't even remember where. I think it was in the Panhandle. I don't know. I was a kid. I remember a guy running across the tops of the pews. I mean, just right out across the tops of the pews. Was it exciting? Yes, it was exciting. Was it thrilling? Yeah. What did we accomplish? That was my question. What did that accomplish? We're going to start a new religion, running across the top of the pew religion. What are we teaching? What are we learning? Let everything be done in order. Now, with that in mind, let me go. Don't lose the thought about the order, okay? God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come to the earth? Come on, you're going to have to stay with me here. I'm a government man looking over the entire world. I am not a local man looking at one person. I never have been. I never will be. I'm sorry. Jesus came to this earth to set things back in order when what man screwed up. Man took the keys of this earth and handed it to the devil, and Jesus came back to take it back and put it back in order. God created man in a perfection. Jesus, the man ruined it. Jesus came back to put us back in that order. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Heaven doesn't start when you die. Heaven starts the minute you meet Jesus Christ. The kingdom doesn't come down from earth. I mean, from heaven to earth. It comes from earth to heaven. It's us. We're the kingdom of God. There is no king without people in the kingdom. We're the kingdom. We've got to get it down. If you don't, you'll never know who you are. Jesus came back to put us back in rightful order. We were pulled from ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. Jesus came back to put us back in that righteous position, back in Him. Okay? I hope so. It's the truth. Now, the very first time we started in this, we discussed or proved the fact that everyone in this room is called. Right? Everybody's called. Everybody's called to do something. Jesus doesn't just call people to keep them out of hell. He's got better things to do than sell hell insurance. He calls people for a work. It's up to you to find out from Him what your work is. Remember this. It's not the job's, it's not the boss's job to hunt you down and tell you what to do. It's your job to go to the boss and ask, what can I do? Right? Okay. If you don't believe that, just hide and see if your boss finds you. When he does, see what he says. When you're called, number one, all callings are directed by the Holy Spirit. Was the earth called?
Yes.
Called to serve mankind, right? The Holy Spirit went down and did the directing of it, and still is. All callings are directed by the Holy Spirit. They're directed by the Holy Spirit for God's order and for God's purpose. You want to see a real messed up man? Find one that thinks he's called so he can get famous. So he can do a big work. So he can be a great preacher. You're going to find a messed up man. You're called by the Holy Spirit for God's order and purposes. A, you are not called by you. Now I'm going to tell you a natural tendency. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You're called according to natural talents, but you're given unnatural talents. Don't ever think you're called because you have a natural talent to that area. God will tell you what you're called to. You're called not by you, but by God. You're called not for you, but for others. Boy, I'd like to set every preacher in the world down and tell him something. You were never called for you. You were called for someone else. You were never saved for you. You were saved for someone else. You'll never minister for you. You will minister for somebody else. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth for Him. He did it for us, or for the Father, if you want to get it just perfectly correct. You were called to not what you want, but what God wants. You were never called, oh, I'd like to be a preacher. You'll never be a preacher. Sorry. I'll guarantee you, when you're called to do something, the first reaction is going to be negative. Why? Because of the built-in rebellion in mankind. That first feeling in you is going to say, oh, no. Then God's going to take care of that. I promise you, God will take care of that. He'll make you want to. You're called for the total picture. You know, when you were hired at that motel, Tanya, you know why you weren't hired as the general manager? Because you didn't know what you was doing. Right? You'd have been put in a place that would have killed you, killed the motel, killed everybody there. It would have all turned out negative. But how come we don't ever realize that in our calling? You're never yanked out of the womb and put as the king. You're never pulled out of a newborn and put as the preacher. Why? Same reason. You don't know what you're doing. Let's work into this thing. God's got a plan. It's for His kingdom. It's for order. By the way, you're never called for influence or prestige. If that's the case, what are you called for? For God's influence and prestige. For His honor. For His glory. That's what you're called for. Think about this. Why were you saved? To bring glory to God. Why are you here today? It better be to bring glory to God. Why did you shave? Why did you get dressed? Why did you do the foo-foo? Let it be for God's glory. Why did you sing this morning when you didn't even want to? Because it brings glory to God. Here's important ones. You are not called or directed. Listen to this one. You are not called or directed in response to pressures or circumstances. Are you hearing me? Too many people think they're called because of a need. Now, if there was a need, you had it. How many of you have been in churches where you see people take Sunday school classes or take this position or take that position because, hey, somebody had to do it? Wrong. Wrong reason. Now you're working You're taking thought for tomorrow. You're worried about things you shouldn't worry about. Let God take care of it. You're not called in response to emergencies or disasters. You know what you ought to do? You ought to picture God, just the best you can, picture God, and see if He ever gets worried in the case of an emergency. Well, number one, He doesn't have emergencies. You're the only one that has the emergency, or the disaster, or we. So He's not going to get up off his place of rest and jump and call you real quick and say, please go do that, I have an emergency. Y'all want to argue with me about that, don't you? I do. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I have been sent to emergency situations, but I wasn't in an emergency. That's the way it's supposed to be. If somebody's out there in an emergency situation, you have to walk in peace or you're not called. You're heading for the wrong place at the wrong time. You're going to fill that general manager's position without the timing, without the procedure, without the training. Let God handle it. Y'all think God's in control? Listen, I'm going over a lot of this so you will understand. Go to God in peace when you ask, what is my call? Or to reaffirm your call. Go there in peace. Don't think that He's going to throw you in an emergency situation. That He's going to put you under such pressure and circumstance that it'll kill you. Or somebody else. It won't happen. Just relax. Here's a good one. Your calling is not a distraction. It's a direction. You know, when I was a kid, man, I was always threatened like crazy that if God ever calls you, He's going to send you to Africa. That's all I ever heard, send you to Africa. Everybody was sent to Africa. Nobody was sent to the Caribbean. Nobody was sent where it was pretty. They were always sent to Africa. And they showed all these slides where you had the roughest life in the world. And you're going, I don't think I want to work for that God. That's all I thought as a kid. No. Forget that mess. I always thought, God, why can't you call an African to Africa? He's used to it. Hey, I was a kid trying to make sense out of things. I don't know nothing. It became a distraction. What I'm trying to tell you is the calling of God that was positioned in front of me, placed in front of me, became a distraction. It wasn't until later, until I started seeking God and knowing God, knowing that He doesn't do things like that just to punish you, that all of a sudden the callings of God become directions of God. I got a direction. You know what it's like to not have a direction and then have a direction? It's nice. It's nice. It's really nice. Number two, you know your calling. You will, or you already do, know your calling and direction and purpose. Now, I can only speak to you out of me. I didn't do a big survey. I'm not one of these guys that goes out and buys a survey or does a survey. I really don't care about surveys. I know about me. I know when God called. I know why He called. And He's given me great vision for the purpose that He's called. Do you know what happens if you have a call from God and you don't know the purpose? You lose the vision. You lose... Harry, if you didn't know where your address was, where you were going to, you'd kind of get lost, wouldn't you? You'd drive around long enough to run out of fuel and say, fooey with it. Fooey with it. I'm not going anyway. That's exactly the way Christians are. If they don't know where they're supposed to end up, they lose the reason to go or the direction to go. So if God hasn't spoken you very clearly about the purpose of your call, you need to begin to ask Him about it. Will He answer you? Well, after you get started, He probably will. If you're waiting to get started, He won't. When He says go, He wants you to go, and He'll talk to you on the way. There's no pay me first stuff. No pay me first stuff. Here's the deal about your calling. How many of you have ever tried to explain to someone what God wants you to do? How hard is it? Donna, how hard is it? Patrick, how hard is it? Can you literally explain what's going on between you two? If you do, people are going to go, sure, yeah. That's what they do. It doesn't make any difference how much you know. The one thing I can guarantee you, you won't be able to explain it. You just have to move with it. You will not be able to explain it to the mind of men, not even to Christian men. Your purpose is not called to explain. Your purpose is you're called to do. Let them figure it out. Keep them guessing. You're going to know from within. You already know from within. Don't look at him. You know from within. I know about you. I won't say that to a lot of people, but I know about him. And I know what his call is. And he knows what his call is. Don't care what he says. He knows. He knows from down here. And he talks about everything else, but all the time this thing down here knows. He knows by the Spirit. He knows in the Spirit. He knows with the Spirit. He knows. And he's always got this little still small voice back here, bringing to your remembrance not only the word but the call. You're never alone. You're never alone. The calling and the direction will be confirmed. That's number three. The calling and the direction will be confirmed. You'll be tested. One of the ways of the confirmation of the calling is you'll be tested. That's not good news. I'm not really telling you good news here. But one of the early ways, what'll test you? You will test you. Your friends will test you. The circumstances will test you. What have you got to do? You've still got to know, don't you? See, the main thing about a calling is you have to know. Because I promise you, friends, enemies, kinfolks, everybody else, they'll come against you and they'll tell you, Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Well, it don't say accept your child, accept your wife, accept your brother, accept your mother, accept anybody else. It says let every man be a liar, let God be true. You've got to know. You'll be tested. Let me tell you something else. Signs will follow. A calling, signs will follow. What kind of signs? Please, let's don't get crazy here. Let me tell you what's not going to happen. The minute a call comes on your life, you're not going to start raising people from the dead. Because, I'll tell you the biggest reason, it would scare you to death. You're not ready for it yet. What will happen? Other kinds of miracles. I just mentioned a couple of them. One, you'll know. The greatest miracle in the world is, your first one is salvation. You know. Try to tell somebody about it. Try to get down mathematically correct and prove that you're saved. How can you do that? There's only one thing. You have a testimony. You can tell them. It's up to them, believe or not believe. You surely can't prove it. You'll know. That's the biggest part of a call, is that you'll know. I wish we could stay here an awful long time. But one of the things is that truth will start gnawing at you. Truth will bite you. You want to? There'll be goofy preachers stand up, or Sunday school teachers, or whatever. A witness comes along, and it's the absolute truth, and you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you want to deny it, and you want to slap the person in the face, and you want to go the other way, but you know the truth. And only a hard heart will deny the truth. There's another thing. You'll be free in your slavery. You'll be free in this calling. Does that make sense to you? You'll be a new freedom sets in. You're just kind of, oh, this is... When you finally accept the fact that this is inevitable, no matter how much fighting you do, it's inevitable, then joy and freedom comes, right? You guys can stand up on a lot of these things. Blessings come. Blessings come. Let's get in order. From the call, blessings come. When you begin to obey, blessings come. Amen. What I'm trying to do is pull away from the fact that these signs shall follow doesn't necessarily mean you're going into the hardcore stuff immediately. The hardcore for you is believing God, is becoming free and peaceful in the calling. Do you see it yet? Hey, that's one of the parts of your faith that you have to operate in. You know, I could say, you know, Harry, we've seen this before. You're going to handle millions of dollars. Okay. I receive that, God. That you've already told me that, and that's confirmation to me. But let me see. I don't see it yet. Hey, did it say you have to see before you believe? Or does it say you have to say before you get? If you're looking for a formula in Mark 11, it's this. You say, believe, see. Not see, believe, say. Look at it. Study it. You'll see. Say it. Believe it. Not doubt in your heart. Then you'll have. You won't break that order. God's order is forever. Then you can get to seeing miracles. When you get the peace about you. When you resign to the call. Miracles can start happening. What kind of miracles? In your family, in your children, in your finances, with relationships. Miracles begin to happen. Those things that you can't understand. Provisions come. Also, changes. We've talked about that before. Another one. You will be totally surprised. I've never seen anybody called of God that says, just exactly what I thought.
It's always better than you think.
That's right. Just exactly what I thought. Just exactly the way I planned it. Oh, sure. You'll be surprised. Number four. And I'm not going to stay long here because we're going to hit this in a different time. God is not going to... How can I say this? God can call you, or does call you, let's be honest. God calls you salvation. He calls you to Himself when you're totally in rebellion and totally out of order. Right? But He won't use you in that position. He'll call you... Actually, what He's calling you from is from that position. But any calling above that, any teaching, any prophetic, any apostolic, any evangelistic, any kind of calling that you have, it's not going to be used when you're in rebellion. So, number four, you will be under authority and under government order. I'm telling you, I wish I could tell you some things I've seen in the last couple of weeks about when somebody loses their covering, it's out of order, how chaotic their life gets when they know they're supposed to be in order. The reason we haven't been slaughtered is because many times we didn't know we were supposed to be under a covering. But when somebody knows and they pull out from under that covering, don't even be around them. I'm serious. It's dangerous to be around them because they just lost their minds. Literally, they just lost their minds. We'll go another time. Number five. Not by man's plans, not by your plan, but by God's orderly plan. What do I mean by that? Listen, you will not get an understanding from books. Please listen to me. If God sends the Holy Spirit and calls you, don't expect Him to... Well, let me say it another way. Please expect Him to tell you how. Don't go to somebody else and ask them how. Please, don't go buy a course. Don't go to college and think you're going to learn how to do God's work. Will it help? That's between you and God. But it won't be the source. Don't make 10,000 notes. Don't make 10,000 notes. How did you get the call in the first place? From a note? Did God send you a note? He can talk the same way yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't think about what you got to say tomorrow when I send you over there. I'll give you what you have to say. That's what the Bible says. By the way, you know why I make notes? Do you know how easy it would be for me not to have notes? That's right. That's exactly right. It's to get the thing covered in the time frame we've got. That's all notes are for. Where did the notes come from? That's right. No structure. Do you know God is an orderly God, but not a structured God? He's a very orderly God, but He's not a structured God. How do I know that? Well, He found you, and you were hiding. He had to break your order and His to find you and come after you and get you. And he'll do that. If he had this nice little structured agenda, if you took a wrong turn, he wouldn't come after you because it would be out of his agenda or his structure. Think about that. There is no schooling in the world that will teach you how to obey the call of God. No school in the world will teach you that except the school of God. And here is the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Get a book, the Bible, read about the true teacher, the true shepherd, Jesus. The Holy Spirit will explain it to you, will give you understanding. Number six, and these are important. Listen to me. You must know. This is the hardest one for humanity to understand. You must know that God wants to work through you. The devil works much overtime to deny this fact. But God wants to work through you. Amen. Let me tell you something. He's not a standalone God. Can he be? Anytime he wants to be. He just don't want to be. He designed this world in order to not be a standalone God. He will not do it without those that he calls. He will not use a standalone person. There's you one. He'll not use a standalone person. If you think you got it all in order, he won't use you. If you think you can do it without me, he won't use you. If I think that I can do it without you, he won't use me. The design to work through mankind is His design. You are going to conform to His design. Okay. Seven. You must know that God has decided to need you. This is a cool one. Listen to me. You must know that God has decided to need you. This is the best one of all. God has decided to need you. Shall I say that six or seven or eight more times till it gets in your spirit? God has decided to need you. If you don't believe that, don't search for the call. Don't ask God what you're supposed to do. Because if you're not sold on God needing you by His decision, you'll not be sold that He can use you by His decision. Here's another one. Number eight. If God needs you, then the world needs you. That's what this is all about. If God has need of you, the world has need of you. Come on, I'm trying to teach you to put your shoulders back. According to the will of God, God needs you, the world needs you. You don't do what you're supposed to do, there's going to be a void in the world. There's going to be a void in God's heart. You didn't do what He asked you to do. It's going to hurt Him. Here's your little saying. Number nine. Whom the devil cannot defeat or distract, God will use. Whom the devil cannot defeat or distract, God will use. Let me reverse that. If the devil has an easy mark in you for distraction or defeat, God can't use you. He hasn't got time to change your diapers the rest of your life. He'll just give you to somebody else to change. For diaper changes. He's going to go on. Number 10. God has made His decision. He is waiting on your decision. God does not change His mind. He waits for you to make yours up. Does He need you? There's one. Does He need you? There's a couple more. Does He need you? Okay. That's His decision. He doesn't change His mind. How do you decide on that? Do you need Him?
Yes.
Okay. Does the world need you?
Yes.
Do you need the world?
Well, we got a purpose down here as well.
If it's part of your calling, you need the world, right? What's an evangelist? What good is an evangelist if there's nobody to preach to? You can say what you want, but you are called to the lost, the needy, those that need help, so you do need them. But most of all, they need you. He's waiting on you. He does not work alone. He needs the obedient. Will you do it for Him and not for yourself?
Yeah.
These are the questions I know God's going to ask you. I'm going to keep moving. There's no reason to take any longer. Listen to this. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are who are called according to His purpose. Now listen, that scripture does not say God loves everybody. I know everybody tells you that, but that's not what it says. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. What does that mean? Let's reverse it. You don't love God? Don't expect things to work out good. That's what it says. It also ties together this. To those that are called according to His purpose. You want things to work together for good? Love God, obey God, and understand there's a purpose in Him messing with you. For Him talking to you, for Him drawing you, there is a purpose. He has not the purpose is not you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He doesn't come to you and say, please be mine, I'm doing it for you. That isn't, He's the CEO of the world. He's got a corporation that needs you to fill a position. So He comes and says, Patrick, do it. And we think we have a free choice in this matter. You gave up your free choice when you took Him as CEO or king. You just need to go to the desk and start working. And He promises to tell you every moment of every day what to do. And it says, all things work together for good to those people that do that. Is that fiction or is that a promise from God?
Real.
All right. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed to each one, who did that leave out?
Nobody.
That's everybody. Okay. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. That's cool. That means everybody has been chosen, everybody has been called, everybody has been told what to do. Now go do it. But Stan, what if I'm not sure? Well, you know what I forget the most? What somebody tells me. How about y'all? See, I don't forget those things you didn't tell me. I forget what you tell me. And unfortunately, that's kind of the way I am with God. God's told me so many things. I prayed this morning, God, of all the things that You've revealed to me and all the things You've told me, how can I remember? Would You please bring to my remembrance over and over? Don't expect me to remember. God has been so good to me about revelation. Please don't let me forget that by just not using it. Now, what about the call, Harry? If 20 years ago, you know where my first call was when I was about 5 or 6 years old? I remember that. I remember that to this day. God is faithful to keep that in my memory. What if I would forget that? What if I would choose to forget that? I would begin to lose my way. I have to be diligent. Am I required to remember everything? No. The Holy Spirit's faithful to bring to my remembrance. But He's not going to do that 60, 80, 1,000 times to get me to do something. It doesn't work that way. If you're not fresh in your call, it's probably because you haven't been fresh in the obedience. If you don't remember the call, it's probably because you've chosen not to. You need to go back to God. You need to fall on your face and repent for that. How old? We've been through this. We've been through this. That age don't mean anything. How old was Abraham when he fulfilled God's call? He thought that God was just giving him a son. Baloney, he was given the world a promise. Amen? Abraham just happened to be the one that was faithful. Who was that other guy that we talked about the other day? Harry, your memory's better than mine sometimes. The one that was 80 years. Moses. Moses. Before he ever fulfilled the call of God, he was 80 years old. And he just went out there like, that's nothing. Let's go. Oh, brother. Don't say that. I want to tell you something. Your call is not hidden. It's in front of you. It's real. It's from God. It is needed. It is possible. It's for you. It's for the kingdom. That's the call. Does that sound like something we ought to be going after?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's good stuff. We need to get in order and be released in God's order. Do you know what God's order is? Now, Christ Jesus. We've got to get into Christ Jesus before we're going to get into that call. Because that's where the call lies. The call of the world came in Christ Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Before then, the Holy Spirit would visit a man. And he would just pounce on that man with great vigor. And he wouldn't let him sleep, and he wouldn't let him eat, and he wouldn't let him be comfortable until he did the job he's supposed to do. I wish it was a little more like that right now. It'd be a lot clearer. But it's not. The new plan is Christ Jesus. You want to know what to do? Get in Christ Jesus. You want to know what to do? Get in Christ Jesus. You want to know what to say? Get in Christ Jesus. You want to know where to go? Get in Christ Jesus. You're going to find out the reality of the call. Jesus is God's tomorrow. Jesus is our tomorrow. Can I ask you a question? What if there was no Jesus tomorrow? I'm asking you personally, just as a thought. What if there were no Jesus for you tomorrow? What would happen? So your tomorrow is Jesus. That's what you're saying. I'll have to tell you something. If there was no Jesus, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? I want in Christ Jesus tomorrow. I want that to be my tomorrow. I want that to be my call. I want everything that I do, say, and think to come through Christ Jesus into me because I'm in Him. Just like a baby in the womb of a mother. That baby eats, drinks, thinks, sees what that mother's doing, what that mother takes in, what that mother does during the day. Are you in Christ Jesus like a babe? You breathe what He breathes. You eat what He... You see what He sees. You feel what He feels. See, that's what makes a call work. When you know, when you can feel Christ Jesus and His feelings about the situation. That's what makes a call work. You don't have to think for yourself. Somebody's doing the thinking for you. Let's enter into God's tomorrow. His call. Let's leave Adam land. Let's walk into all that God has. His call. Jesus, our tomorrow, our day spring, our day tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
God's call in our lives is very simple. I just explained to you that religion made it complicated. In my life, religion made the call complicated. The foolishness of man. What's the foolishness of man? That's people doing things that God didn't tell them to do. That's missionaries that come back with scary stories and they make it sound bad instead of good. They weren't supposed to be a missionary in the first place. They weren't telling me the truth. If they'd have been telling me, walking in the truth of God's call, they'd have told me that everything that I did was, good. There was a couple of rough spots, but don't let that bother you. There were so many good spots it made no difference. That's what they'd have told me. But they weren't in the call of God. They were out there doing something that man told them to do. Religion's made it complicated. Here's how simple it is. It's doing what God told you to do. Letting Him add to it as we obey. It's trusting God. It's knowing that God is for me and not against me. Y'all know that? Do you really, really know that? I think the biggest thing that I ever had to overcome was the fact that God has never once... Somebody told me this. God has never once been against me. Not in a call, not in a punishment, not in a threat, not in anything. God has never once been against me. He's always been for me. That's the call. Do you want to know about your call? How many of you want to know about your call? I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. Come on, don't be bashful. I saw the hand. Raise it again. There you go. You know how you find out about your call? You seek the one that does the calling. Hey, kids, you got to understand this. You want to know what God wants you to do when you get a little older? You ask God. And you ask God. You know why I'm saying it to you? So that the adults will understand. Because sometimes we have a hard time understanding. And the Bible says we got to become as little children to understand. How do I... When you have a question you want answered, do you ask your mom? Do you ask your dad? Look at there. That's how easy it is to find out what God wants you to do. You ask Him. If you want to do God's will, you must know God's will. If you want to know God's will, you must seek God's will. If you seek God's will, you must give up your will. You know what's the trouble with kids, big kids, little kids, all kids? They ask their mom, can I do it? And then when she says no, they do it anyway. And they get in trouble. Or more than that, mom or dad says, go do it, and they don't do it, and they get in trouble. And then we spend the rest of our life praying, why am I in trouble? Isn't that the truth? I promise you, God's a good God. He's a good Father. He's done so much, even given His only Son as an example. Not just a speaking example, but a life example. He gave Jesus as a life example. So we already have His will pretty much explained, not only in word, but in deed. Somewhere in the life of Christ, if we are in Christ Jesus, somewhere in that magnificent life of Christ is our life explained. It's directed. Picture this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ stands in there. You are in there. Does it say you were in Christ Jesus? Before the foundations of the earth you were chosen? Does it say that? Then in that life's walk of Christ Jesus, you were in there. All you got to do is read and ask, and I guarantee you there's a piece of Jesus Christ that will fit you. It's like that puzzle. Only you can fill it. You're there. I'm serious. You're right there in that life of Christ. That's why you read the Bible, so you see where you fit. It's one of the reasons. I've told you this before, but see, I wasn't called to be the mushy guy. I wasn't called to do that. I have read that Bible from front to back, and I'm not in there in that position. And I've had people try to stomp me, mold me, heat me up, cool me down, tell me everything in the world. And every time I try to fit their mold, the piece doesn't fit in the life of Christ, in that Bible. It just doesn't fit. But there's a place that I'm comfortable at. You guys know it. You've seen me yell it, scream it, say it sideways. The truth will set you free. That's the piece where I fit. Not the politically correct truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. There I am, right there. I am not comfortable any place else in the Bible. I'm the Jesus that if the baby was sitting on my knee, I would be the guy, not the one that says, oh, you little darling child. I'd be the one saying, you touch this kid, I'll kill you. He said it'd be better for something tied around your neck and thrown in the air. Isn't that what he said? There's two sides of Jesus Christ sitting right there on that one chair. One holding the child saying, gorgeous little kid. And the other one says, but if you touch him, I'll hurt you. I'm not one, but I'm the other. I fit very comfortably in one, but not the other. Do I think kids are cute? Oh, yeah. I do, but I have about that much patience. Chuck got to see another side of my wife the other day. She fits my mold. This woman right here fits me to a glove. Y'all think she's just quiet. Well, you get her mad. Just get her real mad and see what she throws at you. She fits me to a T. It's part of the way I know my calling. Her. I didn't get somebody to change me. I got my help meet. That means somebody that's equal to the task that God's given me. That's what help meet means. She's equal to my task. God is good. Boy, He's a good planner. Can He put things together? Woo! And just understand this. The test, the biggest test you'll have, is people telling you you don't know your call when you're already operating in it. You know, one of the things Harry does is Harry comes up here to this school by himself, and he works around here, and he doesn't get any pat on the back. He just gets swept. And I'm not too sure he even knows why he's doing that. Maybe he does. I know when he started he wasn't sure. He's beginning to see results. And so he can see where he's headed. And God gives him glory. I give him glory for that. You know, I mean, that's great what you're doing. Everybody in here knows something to do. He knew it before he did it, didn't you? I remember him talking about it. This is the way we're going to reach some of these people. I'm going to go up there and work in that
And I'll bet you everything within him says, what do I want to do that for? The pay is terrible. The place isn't air conditioned. I mean, so a lot of times I'm up here by myself and God just kept saying, do it, Harry. Do it, Harry. And he did it. He's going to get his reward. He's getting it right now, and he's got more to come. How about y'all? Let me tell you, sometimes you guys show up to this place and just a few crowd, just a few people here, and you're faithful because God says so. Expect a reward. If you do what God tells you to do, expect a reward. But don't forget this. I don't seek for you. I bring a word that encourages you to seek for yourself. I've had people in this body come to me and say, I am not sure about my call. Well, if you were in the world, forget God. There is no such thing as God. If you had to do something, if you had to put a license plate on your car, would you seek out the place to get the license plate? You know when you find God the most? When you're looking for him. So I got some news. You want the call? Don't tell me how much you don't know. Go to the guy that knows. That'd be God. Go after him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will tell you about your call. He'll direct your path. Amen? Y'all stand. Praise the Lord. I want this word to create life in these people, Lord. What I have messed up, you correct. What I have poorly explained, you explain better. Holy Spirit of the living God, take this thing that I've laid out here as a sacrifice to you, this word, and not just them, but me. Change our hearts, O God. Make them ever true. Change our hearts, O God. Make us be like you. That's our prayer, Lord. Your likeness, your image, your will, your way, your call. God, let us be faithful and true. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that will draw men to you faster than any testimony. A life's testimony is the best. God, use us. We're going to be burned up by somebody. Let us be burned up by you, Lord. Consumed by you. That's our prayer. If there's anybody here, Lord, that there has been confusion created by this word, I ask you to heal that right now. If there's anyone here that's resisting you in any way, I ask you to deal with that right now. If there's any confusion about the best place to be in the world, in Christ Jesus, let that call and that explanation be right now, in Jesus' name. We speak that on these people. We speak it outside of these walls. Let these people carry your will, your word, your spirit to change this city and change this world. Our vision is much bigger than ourselves, Lord. Let us stop looking at ourselves and start looking through your eyes and see how big things can be. Praise your Lord. Let us not limit ourselves. Let us only be limited by you. All hearts clear? Okay. A guy in Newfoundland.
His name is Bert Wallace.
Okay. Under chemotherapy. Do you think God's arm is short? That's a question in the Bible. Is God's arm too short? See, that's the coolest part about prayer is that, Bill, why don't you and several others come down? We'll lay hands on Patrick as... Where did the request come from? Would you mind us, you standing in for this gentleman, and we lay hands on you? If you do, say so. We won't be insulted. That'd be okay? You guys, Dad, you want to come over? Let's do that. Whoever wants to see a man delivered from the hand of the enemy. That's what you'd say. He's going to stand in for Mr. Walsh. Is that the case? We're going to send the word to Canada. Hey, if you send a word from Texas, you can send it from Canada. Or to Canada. Why don't one of you all pray? Cancer? Cancer, and he's undergoing chemotherapy, right? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. And we do it for His honor and for His glory, right? Anything else? Anything else? Gary, did you say we pray for both? All three? All right, let's pray. Father, your child, Tanya, went out on a limb for you. She said we'd talk to the man that's in charge of all of this, and that's what we're doing right now. We're talking to the Lord, to the ruler of the universe, to the one we love and trust. And your daughter says that her father is bigger than this disease. That's what she told them. We will pray, and my father is bigger than this disease. So we pray as little children, Lord. We pray right now to show yourself strong. Not to make us believe, but to make believers of them, Lord. This word has come out that there is no hope. We curse that word along with the disease and speak healing. And any other situation, disease, dis-ease, or malady that's represented in these three people, we curse the wrongs to hell. We speak life, and that more abundantly, Christ Jesus, into this situation. God, you're our God. Make yourself their God. According to your word, according to your will, according to our faith, we trust you, Lord. And we desperately want to hear that these people's lives have been changed, whether in Illinois, whether it's in Canada, where it's, I don't care where it's at. We want to hear. You promised us in your word, Lord, that we could see the enemy defeated right before our eyes. So we want to hear, see, and feel the response from this prayer. And we will be faithful to give you glory and honor and praise forever. In Jesus' name. Anything else? Anything else? Praise you, Lord. Tell your friends this is a good place to come. Tell them it's worth it. If you care about them, tell them. Tell them I won't do handstands and I won't sweat and spit. Well, I'll sweat and I'll spit a little bit, but not on them. Okay? And just tell them if you're in for the truth, come. If you're in for a show, tell them to watch TV. They got good shows on there. But there's no truth. There's no truth. And the Bible promises that the truth will set people free. Do you understand that you're the only race on the universe, God's race, that can set people free? Nobody else can. Not the United States. Not us being in another country trying. The truth is the only thing that will set them free. That's from your word. That's from your constitution. The one you live by, the truth will set people free. Amen? Father, once again we pray. Now that all hearts are clear, we pray that you do your thing in their lives. Turn them into a walking, talking Jesus machine in the form that you desire, drawing people from the world and setting them free into the kingdom of God. We don't even think that we know how that works. We just ask you to do it as little children, and we trust you that it's done. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. We'll see you back here tonight. Praise the Lord.